ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
So we were at a party and the kids had had a lot to drink. There was a boy who was 17 and not looking his best. And there was this long hallway with bedrooms off it. And he'd obviously got to the start of the hallway and started throwing up, but then had run to the bathroom, but had basically vomited the entire way up. And there he was, passed out next to the toilet with calamari half of the hallway and all over the bathroom floor.
I shouldn't laugh because that's just awful,
isn't it?
And the ending to that story? Well, when the calamari kid's parents were called, do you know what they said? What? Oh, no, he's never drunk before. Well, we all remember what it was like being a teen. And now as parents, we're navigating the world of parties, alcohol, and, yep, drunk teenagers. Hi, I'm Bec Sparrow, a mum of three, including a teenager. And in my job, I talk to thousands of teens in schools each year. In this Parental as Anything Teens, what to do when our kids are asking for alcohol and whining, but everyone else is allowed to drink? First, some good news. The numbers of teenagers who are drinking has fallen in the past 20 years. But the bad news? Those that are drinking are doing it at really dangerous levels. Brace yourself for this next bit. On average, one teenager will die every weekend in Australia from drinking, either from the amount of booze itself or from the terrible decisions that can be made while intoxicated. So should you ever give your teens alcohol? And how do you deal with the social pressure, either from the teen themselves wanting to drink or from other parents who believe it's harmless? Sam, which is what we call all our parents to protect their identity, is a mum of four. And she finds herself not only battling pressure from her kids, but pressure from other parents too.
Our kids are predominantly around friends and families who are lovely families, who are responsible families, who also allow drinking at 16th birthday parties, who are happy for kids to be in their home underage drinking. We don't align with those values and we don't allow it in our home.
Sam has four daughters, one of whom is in year 10 and is starting to push back against the family rules around alcohol.
She was saying, "Mum, but everybody else is drinking." And we have had to work through how we allow our children to attend parties safely, given parents are supplying other people's children alcohol. We do pickups and drop-offs with our kids, and we'd normally turn up and there is just kids everywhere, in bushes, stumbling, on the street. It gets really messy.
It's such a tricky time. As parents, it's kind of hard to know what the best approach is when it comes to our teens and alcohol. Paul Dillon is the director and founder of DARTA, D-A-R-T-A, which stands for Drug and Alcohol Research and Training Australia. Paul speaks to thousands of teenagers and their parents in schools around the country each year. So, Paul, what does the research say about teenagers and drinking?
Well, if you look at the stats, the Australian Secondary School Alcohol and Drug Survey, and that showed the steady increase in the number of young people, young Australians, school-based young people who choose not to drink alcohol. Now, that does not mean that we don't have problems, because certainly those young people who do choose to drink alcohol really don't have the life experience to back up if something goes wrong, and that is when we see tragedies occur.
And what do you mean by that?
If you look at the stats, it's been fairly consistent over time. One 14 to 17-year-old dies every single weekend. Now, those numbers I kind of challenge sometimes because I have been involved with quite a few alcohol-related deaths of young people that I don't think were necessarily reported as alcohol-related deaths. I've been telling the same story for many, many years of a young woman in Victoria who died at a party that her parents put on alcohol. They were forced into a corner by their daughter to do it. The birthday girl and her friends found a drunk girl lying on the ground at this party. They picked her up, they took her to a bedroom, they lay her on a bed, and four girls sat and watched her. They stayed with her the entire time. All they can remember is that they heard a gurgling sound, and that young lady, they discovered she was dead about an hour later. So she had choked on her own vomit, so not one of the girls had noticed.
Oh, that's just horrible. But even if death or injury doesn't occur this time, it's still a risk.
When you drink around that age of 15, 16, 17, there are consequences. Now, this is where it gets very difficult for parents because when research first came out, it was almost sold like you will get brain damage as a result of drinking at that age. And that's not really the case. It's about a loss of potential. Is your child going to be the best they can be if they drink around that time? Parents looked at that and went, well, I drank, I'm okay, and they rejected it. And I think we kind of have to repackage that information and resell it in a different way.
So we need to kind of unpick the assumptions we all have as adults about underage drinking and it not having done us any harm. And I guess hand in hand with that, we want to get through to our kids about this idea of loss of potential.
There's not one young person that I've ever met who doesn't want to be the best they can be. And if you are drinking every weekend across, you know, year 10, year 11, then you know what? The evidence says quite clearly you're not going to be the best you can be.
And what about us parents? As in, how should we deal with our kids drinking?
The challenge I face when I speak to parents about alcohol is, you know, trying to get a balance. Because, you know, the reality is the vast majority of young people who go out and drink on a Saturday night actually end up being reasonably okay. But on the flip side, there are young people who have terrible experiences that can change their life forever and sometimes even end their life. Now, parents find that very hard to accept. They are absolutely willing to accept that a young person could die after taking, you know, ecstasy or MDMA at a nightclub or a music festival. I think there's that belief that, oh, this only happens when it comes to illicit drugs. You know, with alcohol, that's much safer.
Oh, yeah, I get that. And as Australians, we see drinking, even binge drinking, as no big deal.
One of the problems we have in this area is that parents believe everyone does it. It's a rite of passage, everyone will drink.
Not allowing alcohol until around 17 is so far from the norm here in Australia. We don't allow it in our home. The eldest, she was happy to kind of go with what we said. Number two, when she was 16, she was saying, but why? Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is drinking. Our family values around alcohol have been developed to keep our girls safe, to be able to develop their autonomy around it, and for us to know that the decisions that they make are well-educated ones.
Is that different to what their peers are doing?
Hugely.
Paul, is it ever okay to give your child a drink at home?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I always say to parents, if you want to give your child alcohol, that is your right. It's just you've got to work out what works appropriately for you. Is it a good idea from a physical perspective to give your child alcohol? You know, the new NHMRC guidelines, they say no alcohol should pass someone's lips really until they turn 18.
Okay, so the National Health and Medical Research Council recommend that no one should drink at all until they turn 18, which I guess is pretty in line with what Sam's approach has been. But a lot of parents seem to subscribe to something called the Mediterranean model, which is about gradually introducing alcohol to teens. Paul, can you unpack that for me? What is the Mediterranean model?
The Mediterranean model is basically the whole idea of providing a small amount of alcohol with a meal surrounded by your family to teach responsible drinking. And it's that whole notion of it's more likely to take the allure out of drinking behind your parents' back. And there's been quite a bit of research done, particularly in Melbourne, where they looked at the Mediterranean model. Was it successful in, I suppose, teaching responsible drinking and keeping kids safer in the long term? And they found that it wasn't. Now, that's not everyone's experience. And that's the key thing here, each to their own.
So let's be clear. The Mediterranean model is about parents giving their kids maybe one or two alcoholic drinks at home in the hopes that they'll learn about drinking in a safe setting. But it definitely doesn't mean giving our child one or two drinks to take outside the home, like to a party, without that parental supervision in place.
This idea that you can just give two drinks to a 15-year-old and they're going to learn responsible drinking from a teenage party, I think that's, you know, pretty problematic. I've asked many, many young people who have provided alcohol, I say, if your parent gives you two drinks, is that all you drink? And overwhelmingly, they will say, no, not always.
Well, duh.
I think you only have to think about this logically. You're putting a young person, 15, 16, in a room full of their peers. If they drink those two drinks that you provide them pretty quickly, Do you really think they're going to sit in a corner and play Scrabble all night? Realistically.
It's wishful thinking as parents.
Well, exactly. It's just that they're surrounded by their peers. And what we know about a teen brain is when they're surrounded by their peers, the reward just increases dramatically.
Okay. So if parents want to try and introduce alcohol to their kids at home in small amounts, what else do we need to know? What else do we need to be aware of?
There's quite a lot of research now to say around damage around alcohol, that it's not just how much you drink. It's a regularity of drinking. One piece of research that came out, I think, through COVID, which looked at young people who were given just literally just one drink every week, because parents think, oh, if I just give them one drink, that'll be fine. That actually was a predictor of future problems around alcohol as well. The evidence is pretty clear that the only thing that is likely to keep your child protected around health risks, but also long-term values and attitudes around alcohol, is no alcohol. Alcohol at all during their teen years. Now, that's just simply not a reality for some parents and their kids, because you have kids who push buttons. And if a kid wants to drink, you know what? They're going to find a way.
Right. So our kids are probably going to try alcohol at some stage, probably before they hit their 18th birthday. Sam and her husband put their heads together about what they should do.
My biggest concern was our culture here in Australia. And, you know, at uni, binge drinking is far more common than even attending class. So I looked at it as a way to teach them about the percentage of alcohol, body weight, how to take responsibility for your friends, how to talk to an adult. We decided that waiting until they were 18 to do that, we would kind of miss that opportunity.
Paul, how do you stop them from being binge drinkers? How do you teach them to have a couple of drinks and that they can enjoy themselves rather than the attitude which we have in Australia, which is all about just getting smashed?
What you've got to remember is our kids learn from watching us from a very early age. And I think one of the issues now that I think we're going to face in the next few years is this kind of very dramatic increase in that whole kind of idea of wine time. You know, we really haven't had those kids come through yet of what impact that had of watching particularly I'm certainly not parental shaming here or anything else, but, you know, watching their mothers who were drinking. When it comes to drinking, the one kind of value I suppose you want to instill in your kids is that, you know, if you are going to drink, you drink for the, in inverted commas, right reason. The one thing you most probably should not do as a parent is, you know, get home on a Friday afternoon, drop in a chair and go, I'm absolutely exhausted, I need a drink. Because the one thing you don't want your kid to do is to drink because they're stressed, to ease stress, to relieve anxiety, all that kind of stuff. You don't want that.
Oh man, I could just feel every parent around Australia listening to this and thinking about all the times I've said, oh, it's 1 o'clock, I'm really desperate for a drink. Yeah, that feels uncomfortable, actually, because it's not a great message. But is there a flip side to what our kids are seeing?
An awful lot of parents exhibit really, really positive behaviour. You know, if they are drinking, they will typically drink with a meal at a social event, whatever. Make sure you take the time at some point or another. Don't make it a lesson, but, you know, say to your kids, look, when we drink, we always make sure one of us is sober to drive. We have a designated driver. We don't drink to get drunk. We drink with a meal with friends. And those conversations, each one is actually teaching your child a little bit more about positive, I suppose, drinking. And also, by doing that, you're rejecting this Australian ideal of drinking to get drunk. And certainly we still are, as a nation, are continuing to drink at risky levels.
Sam and her husband are on the same page about their boundaries around alcohol, but they're coming up against other parents who are supplying alcohol freely.
With parties starting from year nine, each family seems to be really different how they approach it. Commonly, I'd say more from year 10 than year 9, there is alcohol at pretty much most parties. Some families, you'll get a text message saying, look, there's going to be alcohol. We just want to know if your child will be bringing alcohol or not. We won't be providing it, which is more in line with my value. However, there's been issues arise with families and friends where alcohol has been supplied without any discussion. I'm not comfortable with that. And as they get older, that becomes more and more the norm.
Paul, this is a biggie. Is it ever okay to give someone else's child alcohol?
I do not believe in parental shaming, but shame, if you provide alcohol to another parent's child.
Okay, so let's say we do know that there's going to be alcohol supplied at a party and your 15-year-old has been invited. Do you let them go?
My message has always been get the best information you can and follow your heart. If it doesn't feel right, don't do it. So if you have a 15-year-old daughter, she is invited to a party where you know there will be 18-year-olds and there will be alcohol served, then you have to sit back and look at that and think, well, if every fibre of your being says this is not a good idea, that's when you turn around and you say no. And it's a huge but with great big underlines underneath it. If you say no, 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 no all the time, at that particularly that very difficult age of, you know, that 14, 15 age group, you say no all the time, there's a very good chance you could lose them. They will drift away.
Oh, yeah, totally. And that's like the last thing that parents want when their kids are teens, because we want them to stay connected to us and be open with us and actually tell us what's going on.
I think that the key here is to look for every opportunity to say yes. So if it's a party that you know it's important for their socialising, then I suggest you put caveats around it. You say, look, I don't feel good about this. Everything about this party doesn't feel right, but I understand why you need to go. So I'm going to respect that. But I'm going to take you, I'm going to pick you up, and you're there for 2 hours.
Teenagers being teenagers, they sometimes make bad judgment calls. So they go out to a party, they have too many drinks. What, as parents, should we be teaching our kids about what to do when they or a friend has drunk too much.
Most importantly, there's the line that you should use every single time your child leaves the house, which is, you can call me anytime, anywhere, I will be there. No questions asked. And no judgment, nothing else. You're just going to bring them home and make sure they're safe. Now, there will be questions asked and there will be consequences, but they'll be when you're settled down, they're settled down, and everything is a bit more balanced.
Right. So what if they're at a party and their friend gets super drunk and passes out? What can we teach our kids to do in that moment?
What I find quite unbelievable about parents who actually provide alcohol to their kids to go to a party, when you say to them, what did your mum and dad give you as well? What information did they give you? And they usually say, you know, be sensible, blah, 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 blah. But I said, did they give you any practical skills, like, you know, what to do if something goes wrong? And I would say overwhelmingly, 99% would say no, they don't get any of that information. And I used to ask year 10s, how many of you have looked after a vomiting drunk friend? And it's typically around about 2/3 of a year 10 group. They're 15.
Mm. And what is that practical skill?
There's a whole pile of things you can do. You know, never take a drunk person into a bathroom. A bathroom's incredibly dangerous. Often they lock the door. And of course, how do you get in? So, you know, I always say get a bucket, a plastic bucket. And you would never actually lie someone flat when they're drunk. Why? Because they can vomit and the vomit can go back down their throat. And I would urge every parent who's listening to this to say this to your child many, many times. Just say, you have my 100% support if you ever believe you need to call 000, and then you call me. And the number one reason why young people don't call 000 in this country is because they're frightened their parents will find out. That should not happen.
Oh my God, I am learning so much stuff that I have never even thought about, both as a mum and as someone who's in their 50s. So what do we teach our teens in terms of helping someone to sober up?
The three top ways that young people do it, two of them kill people. The first one is feeding them bread, which is quite possibly one of the most incredibly dangerous thing you can do to a drunk person, because bread's a hard food to chew and swallow when you're sober. When you're drunk, it's practically impossible. And unfortunately, bread can choke you. People do it because they think it soaks up the alcohol, which is just ridiculous.
Okay, bread, what's the other one?
Next one is putting someone under a cold shower. All that does is give you a cold, wet, drunk person. And then the most important one, which always surprises parents, because so many parents do this, is force someone to drink water. Water doesn't sober someone up. If you force someone to drink water and they can't process it, you can actually die from water intoxication or internal drowning. So none of those things work. There's only one thing that can sober someone up, and that's time, nothing else.
So we know the dangers of letting our kids drink, but we still face a huge amount of pressure and often constant pressure from our kids to let them drink. And sometimes that pressure is doubled when it comes from other parents.
I would consider myself one of the more strict parents. A lot of parents' opinion has been they'll do it anyway, everybody else is doing it, and I'm not going to allow them to do something just because everybody else is doing it. You know, I had one parent say to me, oh, so lovely seeing them at these parties instead of just on their phones all the time on social media. And I said, oh, yeah, great. So they're drunk and Snapchatting. That's a way better option.
Can we just give a bit of love and support to those parents for holding the line who are saying, I'm not comfortable with you going to a party with alcohol or hosting a party with alcohol? There's always been that tension between the parents who are okay with it and the parents who aren't. What's your take on that, Paul?
I'll tell you one story which I think is just wonderful. I gave a parent night one, it was many years ago, and there was this mum. She said, yeah, I didn't feel good about the party, but I dropped her off. I got all the way home. I was just pulling in the driveway and my phone went. And it was my daughter. It had gone pear-shaped. There had been the police, everything else. And she looked at me and she said, I was the mum who they called. They didn't call the call mum. They called me because they knew that I would be there.
Yes, yes, and to that mum.
And I just think that was such a powerful endorsement it's really important, if you want to keep your child safe during adolescence, to put rules and boundaries around them, to give them some guidance, first off, but most importantly, to keep them safe.
If you could say one thing that you know was going to be heard by parents of teenagers across this country, what would that one thing be?
If there was a golden rule, you know, something that you could just put out there and say, oh, this is what you do, it would be fantastic. But to each their own, I think that's really important. You have to make a decision that matches your family and your values, but really important. Get the best information you possibly can. And there are lots of places you can get information from. And then follow your heart.
The good news is our teens are drinking less than previous generations. But here's the thing. Teenagers are teenagers, and most of our kids are going to try alcohol before they turn 18. So, is it okay to give alcohol to your child when they are underage? The research says no. But in the end, it's your call. Just understand the risks. Arm yourself with info and then make the best decision for your child and your family. And when it comes to parties, I say follow your gut. If something feels off, say no. And if you do let your child go to a party where you know there's going to be alcohol, please give them practical tips on what to do if things go bad and how to keep each other safe. And make sure, and honestly, this is the most important bit, make sure they know they can always call you, no questions asked. I think also we really have to respect that each family is different, with different rules and different boundaries, and that's actually okay. But the thing is, it's never okay to give alcohol to another person's child without their knowledge. And it's probably never a great idea to eat calamari if you know you're going to be hitting the booze. Thank you to Paul Dillon, director and founder of Data, for his incredible insights, wisdom and tips. And thank you to Sam for sharing her story with us. This podcast was recorded on the traditional lands of the Turrbal and Yagara peoples. Parental as Anything Teens is mixed by Anne-Marie de Bettencourt. It's produced by Hannah Riesch and Josie Sargent. The supervising producer is Tamar Cranswick, and Alex Lolbach is the executive producer. Make sure you follow us on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Beverly Wang, and I would love your help. Every week on Life Matters, I host an advice segment called Ask Auntie, where we take a problem from your life and try to solve it. We've helped people figure out all sorts of problems, like how do you deal with a man who gets angry when you park at the front of his house on bin day?
I would say that this anger is not about
the bins.
With
the bins, you think?
Do you think he might need, I don't know, I could say a hug therapy or maybe just a little bit of ECT?
Or maybe just a sense, a reality check and dare I say a privilege check.
What do you do when your brother, who lives in Europe, won't put up your backpacking sign?
My auntie who lives in New York, she does have a really small apartment, and one time I said I'd go and visit and she was like, I'll find you some other accommodation.
These are the mother's feelings. We don't know how the son feels. He might be like, Mum, I don't care. I don't know this guy. I just want to go backpacking.
How do you deal with obnoxious dinner party guests who won't stop talking?
Paula is in the wrong, no doubt. There's a lot of things she's done wrong. Taking photos without permission, not saying thank you, dominating everything. That's awful.
Well, I think we can all agree Paula sounds like a nightmare, certainly a nightmare of a guest.
Whew. So if you've got a sticky situation that needs solving, write it up, email it to us, lifematters@abc.net.au. That's lifematters@abc.net.au. And we will do our best to talk it through and help you figure it out. You don't even have to use your real name. We will work with you to de-identify that dilemma so you're safe. So, take a load off. The aunties are here to help. Thank you, and I hope to hear from you very, very soon.